Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, text line, you're off punishment. Congratulations, text line, you've made it out on the other side. If you guys missed it, the text line was acting up. I did not read any text in the 3 o'clock hour. I did not reference the text line. They're in timeout. It was a 1 hour timeout. We'll move forward on a probational period the rest of the show. If I think you guys are out of pocket again, you're cut off the rest of the show. Let's move forward. I don't want to talk about what happened in the past. Let's not focus on it. Let's not dwell on it. Let's move forward. Is that okay with you, Rob? It's okay with me. I'm ready to move forward with the text line. I'm ready to move forward amicably is what I'm willing to do.
I'm willing to move forward in some sort of probationary, hey, you got to report to your probation officer type of way. If they start acting like the Steelers are a real threat because Ben Roethlisberger has a Super Bowl again, they go back into timeout.
You're right. I do have one question really quickly, and this really popped in my mind. Because this has kind of been the theme of today's show. Like, every show has a different theme. Today's theme has been house money, that the Steelers are playing with house money. We had the text line saying that earlier. We had the play-by-play voice of the Steelers, Bill Hillgrove. He said that earlier.
Coming down the stretch, I think this team quietly has taken on a resolve, maybe as a tribute to their veteran quarterback and his parade lap. But I think more importantly, they've gotten a little bit healthier, and I think that offensive line has just gotten a little better. And you know, the defensive line, I know they're last against the run, but they've just found ways to win, especially when they knew they had to win. And I think I'm not trying to issue a warning to the Chiefs, but I think this could be a dangerous team because now they're playing with house money.
I didn't hear a whole lot of people saying that's how MU could have beat Kansas earlier this year when they played in basketball. I mean, you want to talk about a team that was playing with the ultimate house money. Wasn't it the Tigers against the Jayhawks earlier this year? Like, sometimes you go into a scenario with house money and it just doesn't mean anything. You're still going to get beat because the other team's better than you. Right? Like, that happens all the time. We use this house money scenario. We don't really talk about how people lose with house money all the time. The guy earlier who made the analogy, it was smart. Sometimes you get house money and you just lose because you're not good at it. You just lose. That's what this feels like. I don't want to spend too much time talking about this. I would like to bring this up, Rob. So no Clyde Edwards-Helaire, your favorite topic, running backs.
Here we go.
No Clyde Edwards-Helaire, probably in this game. He didn't practice today. Let's see if he practices tomorrow, but I'm going to guess that it's going to be another week with no Clyde Edwards-Helaire. There's no reason to push CEH for this game. You got bigger games, bigger fish to fry. There's no reason to push him back if he's still dealing with an injury. We can have this conversation this time next week when they're playing a much better opponent and go from there. Daryl Williams is healthy. I was thinking this because we always have this feeling that there's a wrinkle with the offense, that the Chiefs are holding back in the regular season and they're just going to unleash in the postseason. What's the wrinkle? I think the wrinkle could be Jerick McKinnon. If I'm willing to go out on a limb, and if you hold on to the belief that the Chiefs are holding back certain plays, certain formations, They're doing certain things in the regular season, waiting for the postseason to set you up. I think the wrinkle could be Jerick McKinnon. That play that he made to score the touchdown, I don't know if there's another player on their roster, at least at running back, that could have made that play. Not Darrell Williams, not Clyde Edwards-Helaire, not Derek Gore. Maybe the wrinkle is Jerick McKinnon gets a little bit more involved in the passing game, especially this week, as it looks like you're not going to have Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Maybe he's the wrinkle. I think we saw what their plan is with Mecole Hardman. Mecole Hardman's going to be part of their offense. They seem more willing to find 5 to 8 ways that he can touch the football. And they'll run some jet sweeps. They'll run some wildcat stuff. They'll do some different things to try to get the ball in his hands. So that's another possible wrinkle. But I'm going to throw out Jerick McKinnon as a name of them trying to diversify the offense a little bit. It's going to be a lot of Hill, a lot of Kelsey. It's the playoffs. You're going to your big dogs. But I'm trying to think of what else the wrinkle could be, and I'm really coming up short outside of Jerick McKinnon.
I have a wrinkle in the same vein. I won't put a name to it like you put Jerick McKinnon, but we've stood here for now 18 weeks in the NFL season, and me and you have said, where's the screen game? Where's the screen game? Where's the screen game? Over and over and over again. They basically only throw the ball to one running back, and it's more on flats and swings than it is true screens. Andy Reid is screen god. He was that in Philly, and he was that early in Kansas City. The one thing the Steelers do well is pass rush. The one issue that could pop up is the Chiefs don't have Lucas Niang in this matchup, so you could be having Andrew Wiley against TJ Watt. You know what the Chiefs' wrinkle could be, in my opinion? The screen game makes a triumphant return to Andy Reid's playbook. It must have fallen out when he was walking to go get a hamburger in the cafeteria because they don't run screens anymore. But you know how you stifle the one thing the Steelers do well? Screen them to death, go up by 2 scores, coast, and have the Steelers go gently into the night. That's my wrinkle for the Chiefs offense.
That goes in line with my theory of getting Mecole Hardman the ball. I like that one. I don't dislike that being the wrinkle. I don't dislike that being the wrinkle, is them figuring out a different way to get Mecole Hardman the football. Now, I do have a toss-up question for you. I don't know if this is a toss-up question or a different kind of question. Let's say that I set the over-under on Josh Gordon receiving yards in the playoffs at 19.5. Are you taking the over or the under? Because, in theory, Josh Gordon would be a wrinkle. We have not seen a lot of Josh Gordon this regular season. I was going to say this postseason. Postseason hasn't started. We have not seen a lot of Josh Gordon. Now would be the time to unleash your big body wide receiver. If I set the over-under on receiving yards, not just in this one individual game, the entire postseason at 19.5, you taking the over or the under?
What are we doing? Why? Why are you doing this? Under. He's getting, in a game that had Tyreek Hill on a bum heel in Denver on a Saturday, he got one target, didn't do anything with it. The game before that, the Steelers game, when it was coast, you're up by 21 in the blink of an eye. That's a game to get him the rock. Didn't get him the rock. He doesn't get the ball. He goes out there every fifth play, runs a route, doesn't get targeted, returns to the sideline, lather, rinse, repeat. Under. I'm so tired of the text line. I'm already angry the text line's back. Josh Gordon's the wrinkle. Playoff Josh. Shut up. He's not good.
Why are you so angry? Why are you so angry about Josh Gordon?
Because I've heard it from
you're the only person who still gets riled up about Josh Gordon.
I've heard
Gordon.
It from you in the text line for 10 weeks. He'll pop up eventually. And I keep saying no. You're and everyone says I'm wrong.
Still riled
I'm
up.
I'm right. He won't have 20 yards in the postseason. How many Byron Pringle have last postseason? That's his number. Maybe.
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't know how many yards Byron Pringle had last postseason. I bet he had more than you think. Josh Gordon has 14 yards receiving since December 1st. 14 he has. I'm going to set it at 19.5
under.
This postseason.
You're hammer the under.
Right now, you're taking the under. You're taking the under right now at 19.5.
If you said it at 14.5, I would have a real conversation about the over. 13.5, I'd have a real conversation.
All right, you tell me what we're setting at, 12 and a half?
Someone says Josh Megatron Gordon. That's a good tweet.
Are we setting it at 12 and a half?
12 and a half, I'd take the over. He'll break 12.
Are we sure?
The only chance he has to break this number is in this upcoming game, because they're going to coast past the Steelers, and he'll get plenty of reps. But after that, you're in a real game against Buffalo, you're going to toss the rock to him? No. In a real AFC title game, you're going to target Josh Gordon like it's 2001? No. The Super Bowl, if that happens, you're going to target Josh Gordon like your RG3 at Baylor? No. He runs out there, runs his five routes, he goes back home.
Last year, Byron Pringle had 39 yards receiving in the postseason.
How many? 39. He had the game by game. What was the Super Bowl?
He had 3 yards receiving in the Super Bowl. He had one catch for 3 yards in the Super Bowl.
Bink loves to point out it was the first catch of the game. That's Bink's favorite stat.
He had one catch for 3 yards. All right, so we're setting the over-under at 12 and a half. You're taking the over.
12 and a half over, 19 and a half under.
All right, I can live with that. All right. Keep it locked in. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Text line 913-576-7610. Today the text line has actually been fairly enjoyable. Sean Barber coming up on the show too. The top text is they haven't targeted Josh Gordon much because they want to keep him a surprise for the postseason. Well, it's the postseason now. We're throwing out the question. If I set the over-under for Josh Gordon postseason receiving yards at 12 and a half, you taking the over or the under? I asked Rob that question. Rob got irrationally angry for what I don't know what reason.
That text, he says there's some sort of secret playoff level that you can unlock with Josh Gordon. Like it's a mystery stage in Super Smash Bros. He stinks.
You would think that Josh Gordon plays running back for the team. I've never heard this kind of vitriol toward Josh Gordon. He's the only one still emotionally invested in the success of Josh Gordon at this point. This one texter has called me an idiot basically since 2 o'clock. I then said, hey, we'll take your phone call right now. He's like, I don't want to do all that. Okay, all right. I was ready. We could have just took your phone call. You'd have been like a special guest. Guy been calling me an idiot all day for talking down on the Steelers. I was like, hey, call in. Now's the good time to let's talk. Now he doesn't want to talk. Someone said, I like Angry Rob. No one likes Angry Rob. Nobody. Nobody likes Angry Rob. Another text says, over, I'd put my life savings on it. I don't know if I'm willing to do that. It's going to be real close if he gets there. 12 and a half is maybe the perfect over-under for Josh Gordon receiving yards in the playoffs. So Alex Gold just responded. I wish this was a number you could actually bet on, would take the over, too much value if you got potentially 2 to 4 games for one catch, basically. I know what the numbers say. Yeah, I don't know if it's good value for Josh Gordon. I really don't. I think it's right about there. Someone says, it doesn't matter, he won't catch it. I'm not here to debate it. I'm not here to say what you're saying is wrong. Former NFL head coach Eric Mangini said not to underestimate the Pittsburgh Steelers.
It's better than a bye. I'm sure the Colts thought that the Jacksonville Jaguars were better than a bye. I'm sure when we played the Rams in our first Super Bowl and we were 14-point underdogs, they probably thought, hey, that was probably better than a bye. But guess what? It's pro football.
That's the last game
things,
of the year.
And things can change dramatically. And the last time they played, if anything, Pittsburgh probably underestimated Kansas City because of all the COVID problems. And the game started as bad as it could possibly start, where Kansas City scores and they throw Pittsburgh throws a pick on their first play, and they're down 14-0 before anybody blinks. But if you think you can count on that from a Hall of Fame quarterback and a Hall of Fame coach and a proud team, then that's the problem. You'll probably – your group will probably be sitting at home if anybody
coach
in that locker room
fire.
Is taking that approach, because that is the kiss of death. Underestimating professional football players is the kiss of death.
All right. I'll paint this scenario. This is the scenario, Rob. Let's say the Steelers are playing the perfect game. Everything that they want to do is coming to fruition. They've shut down Patrick Mahomes. They've got pressure. They've ran a ball control offense. They have all the ingredients for an upset. I fast forward to the final possession of the game. It is Chiefs 17, Steelers 13. Chiefs just got a touchdown to take the lead, but they're kicking the ball back to the Hall of Fame quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger. It's a touchback. Pittsburgh is on the 25-yard line. They have 3 timeouts and the 2-minute warning. I don't think Pittsburgh gets to midfield in that scenario. I don't think they get to the 50-yard line. That's how little I think of their quarterback. We agree. That'd be the ideal scenario, right? Low-scoring game. They got the ball back. A chance to take the lead. I mean, right now, I think if you give that scenario to Pittsburgh, they would fast forward to that scenario. 3 minutes left. 25-yard line, all our timeouts left, plus the 2-minute warning, a touchdown wins us the game in all likelihood. How far do you think the Pittsburgh Steelers get in that scenario? I don't think they get to midfield. That tells me everything I need to know about how good their quarterback is. I wouldn't take that bet with any other team in the National Football League outside of maybe New England and Mac Jones. But even then, I think New England could still run the ball and still get down the field, and they'd run a couple play actions that would open things up. How far do you think Pittsburgh gets in that scenario?
I think the only way they cross midfield is by penalty. And the Chiefs' corners tend to get grabby at times. And maybe they throw a 50-50 YOLO ball to Chase Claypool and they cross midfield. But if you're saying Ben Roethlisberger's arm has to get you past midfield in that scenario, 3 yards passes to Ray McLeod aren't doing it. The Chiefs can sit on that all day. So I think if they cross midfield, it's like to the Chiefs 40, but as a Chiefs fan, I'm not worried about scenario. I think in that scenario, he's more likely to go full Drew Locke and throw a pick to steal the game for the Chiefs than he has to go win the game.
I think it's a turnover on downs. I think it's a turnover on downs. Someone said, CDOT, you don't think they could get 25 yards? No, I don't. I don't think they would get 25 yards in that scenario. I don't think their quarterback's good enough. You know how we say in like there are some situations where you give teams too much time. Like we've all been watching NFL games and you think, all right, we gave Team X too much time, right? I don't know if you can give Pittsburgh too much time with their offense. I really don't know if you can. We'll take phone calls on this. 913-576-7610. Tell me, in that scenario, we agree, that'd be the perfect scenario for Pittsburgh to win the game. 17-13, they need a touchdown to go win it. Their offense is on the field. They got 3 minutes, three timeouts, the two-minute warning, and the ball at the 25-yard line. How far do you think the Steelers get? I don't think they score, number one. A field goal doesn't save you. And I don't have no ability in their quarterback to put you in a scoring range. I no ability to do it.
That scenario reeks of a Daniel Sorensen in the box pick. Oh, a la what happened with Teddy Bridgewater in the Broncos game. He threw it 7 yards, Dan Sorensen standing there. Or as Big Ben calls it, a Hail Mary, 7 yards.
Text line 913-576-7610. I get it, they're not good, but you make it sound like they're getting the number one overall pick. They're not Jaguars bad or Jets bad or Texans bad. They're not that bad. No, I don't think that. Of all the possible scenarios in the playoffs, you have the best one. The best one. Let's say that they were doing a draft and you could pick your opponent in the playoffs of either side. You'd pick the team they're playing. That's what you'd pick. You'd pick the team that they're playing. If the Chiefs got the ability to pick any team to play in the first round, you'd pick the Pittsburgh Steelers. Text line 913-576-7610. What if they flip the script and ride Najee Harris? He's averaging 3.9 yards per carry this season. There's no reason to let that running back run all over you. It'd be one thing if Najee just had a great season. He didn't have a great season. He just didn't. And I love Najee coming out of Alabama. I was a huge Najee Harris fan. And I probably will be next year when they get a better quarterback to put around him, but he just wasn't good this year. He was okay in the passing game, but they threw it to him a bunch because Ben can't throw the ball down the field. Najee Harris averaged 3.9 yards per carry. He had 74 catches, but he had 94 targets for your running back is a wild number. It's a lot of underneath stuff. If you're going to upset Kansas City, you have to have the ability to push the ball down the field. I know they lost to Cincinnati because of some questionable officiating. That's the kind of team that gives Kansas City problems. A team that can really challenge their corners down the field. That's not really what Pittsburgh is. It's not the kind of offense they run. It's more of a crossing, middle of the field type offense. That's the kind of offense that they are. Those just aren't the teams that give Kansas City problems. Think of the teams they lost to this season. Every team they lost to has the ability to push the ball down the field. Buffalo, the Chargers, the first time they played them. That's Kansas City's weakness. That's most teams' weakness. You've got to be able to push the ball down the field. That's just not the kind of offense that they have. We'll take your phone calls on the other side. But we agree, that's the perfect scenario, right? 17-13, Steelers got to go the length of the field, but they have all their timeouts. How far do you think the Steelers get? I think they get maybe 20 yards. I think they maybe get one first down, and that's where the drive ends, and they probably get a turnover on downs. It's probably how that drive ends. Or Ben throws an absolute duck, and it gets intercepted. Coming up next, we'll take your phone calls. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Text line 913-576-7610. I feel like we should win this game, no problem, but I don't trust this defense to stop anyone. When we play good defense, it's a plus. I feel like our success in the playoffs will rest on the shoulders of our offense. This is one of the times where the numbers, I would say, are firmly against you if you think that. The Chiefs have the eighth best defense in the National Football League. What I think has happened is we overreacted to the one game against Ja'Marr Chase. I don't know if overreacted is fair because Ja'Marr Chase did cook him. But that game plays out very differently in a couple different scenarios that I think we're outside the Chiefs' control. Maybe I am being a homer for thinking this, and I'm looking at it through Chiefs' color glasses. I don't care anything about the Broncos game. The Chiefs do that at least once a year under Patrick Mahomes. There's a game that they just come out and they just don't play really well, but they'll figure out a way to win, and it just doesn't matter. Remember last year when they played the Atlanta Falcons? Remember that game? That's what I think this game was. They played a 17-14 game to the Atlanta Falcons last year. That was the game right before they took the bye. The double bye, basically. Remember how they didn't play their starters in week 17? Against the Chargers. Then they had the bye week. And the Falcons, they just sleptwalked through it. The Falcons game did not have meaning. They barely beat the Falcons. They were on the road to smoking the Cleveland Browns. And then Mahomes got hurt. So, maybe I'm being a homer. I don't care about the Broncos game at all. Like, not even a little bit. I don't take anything from it. I don't care what happened with the defense. I don't care that they ran 461 yards. I just don't care. You can care. I don't care. I would say that their defense has earned the benefit of the doubt. Now, this is a team that's always going to be carried by its offense because that's where a majority of your star players are. You got the best quarterback in the league, a top three wide receiver and the best tight end, and maybe the best offensive mind in the history of the National Football League in Andy Reid. Like, maybe the best offensive mind ever. So, yeah, this team isn't going to win if they don't score. But once you play harder teams and teams that are more equipped to beat you, I would say this team has shown you that they can win a game 27-21. That they don't need the offense to play otherworldly in order for them to advance. I do think they deserve that benefit of the doubt. Let's say they play Buffalo next week. They can hold Buffalo to 21 points, which should be enough for you to win. I think the Chiefs have the ability to hold every team that's in the playoffs under 21 points. And 24. I'll push 24. There's a couple teams I think could score on Kansas City. But I would say if you do that, you give yourself a chance to win. I just don't think Pittsburgh can score 24 points. So I think that's kind of where it changes. Coming up in a little bit, we'll be joined by Sean Barber. He is not in studio today. He will be back next week. We'll argue the same way that we normally do, though. So I had this scenario, and we'll take a couple phone calls on it. Let's say Pittsburgh has the ball down four with a chance to win at the 25-yard line, three timeouts plus a two-minute warning. How far do you think they go? I don't think they get the ball to midfield. Where are you at, Rob?
I think they get the ball to maybe the Kansas City 45, but they're buoyed by a penalty probably because Chiefs CBs are very grabby.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Hey, Gino.
All right, let me make this point now. First of all, hear this. I do think the Chiefs will win. But here is, if you wanted to be concerned, why you should be concerned. Now, you just went on about how you don't want to pay attention to what happened in Denver. Here's what I saw. First of all, I'm neither optimist nor pessimist, but here's what I saw and here's what I see. If you are concerned about the Chiefs this Sunday, and I am slightly concerned, here's why. I've seen Patrick Mahomes play games where he winds up and throws the ball directly to the other team, and he did that twice last week. I am concerned about that. If one is not concerned about that, then they're making a mistake. The times he did it last week, twice in a row, hit the guys right between the numbers for the other team. They didn't catch it. You would be concerned if you thought that Pittsburgh might catch it. Secondly, picture this. We hand the ball off to a running back. They haven't been doing this. They fumble. Okay, right now I'm picturing in my mind that we have a minus two in turnovers. Now, that could happen. That could happen. I'm hoping it won't, but it could. The other thing is I saw this game. I've watched and paid attention just like you have, C-Dot, all year. I watched a bad defensive team, a just nightmarishly bad defensive team for the first part of the season. Then all of a sudden, they almost miraculously became one of the best defensive teams in the year. And then I'll tell you what I saw for the last 2 weeks. And you can say you want to ignore the Denver game all you want. I saw a team that, at least temporarily, wasn't a good defensive team 2 weeks in a row. That's not to say they won't become again, but they seem to have lost their defensive mojo. So that's two things. I don't know if they're going to get that back. They look pretty darn mediocre defensively. Then the third thing, although Pittsburgh's offense is terrible and will be terrible Sunday.
So really quick, Gino, if you think their offense is going to be terrible, how do they beat Kansas City?
I'm explaining it to you. I'm saying we have three turnovers.
Okay.
And then the third thing, in your worst nightmare, that defense plays very, very well, and you see a T.J. Watt highlight film, and Mahomes gets sacked three or four times with a strip sack and a fumble recovery for a touchdown or a pick six or something like that. I could see the Chiefs' mistake team losing this game in a fairly low-scoring game. And I could also see, you know, Roethlisberger completing a bunch of short passes and us losing 20-17 in a mistake-filled game. I'm nervous about the defense, and I'm nervous about Mahomes turning the ball over. I think we'll win. I wouldn't bet against them. I would bet against them with the spread. But I think we'll win the game. But, Mahomes threw the ball right to the other team, and he's been doing that. And he's made some great plays. He's shown signs of becoming the 2019-20 Mahomes. You know, there's been sparks of that, but I don't understand why he's throwing the ball to the other team, and we haven't been putting the ball on the ground with our running backs. I do fear a high turnover game. I think we could, probably won't, but we could lose this game. I think if we think we couldn't lose this game, we're fooling ourselves. And Mike Tomlin is a superstar, and don't forget that. I saw him win nine games grinding every week, a bunch of games he shouldn't win. And there are no good teams in the AFC this year. There just aren't. The Titans aren't good.
The Chiefs are good. What are we doing? There's no good teams in the AFC. The Chiefs aren't good. I was letting Gino cook. The Chiefs aren't good. Rob, how many times has Kansas City scored 17 points or fewer with Patrick Mahomes as a quarterback?
The once, right?
No, it's happened more than once.
The Super Bowl and the Colts game, so two.
They had the game against the Falcons. They scored 17.
Oh, yeah. Well, you told me you didn't count that game.
Okay, yeah. They scored 17 points in that game. So in this, I think to me we're now just doing mental exercises to try to figure out a way that Pittsburgh can keep up with Kansas City instead of just acknowledging what what it is. What it is Pittsburgh isn't good enough to beat you. That's what it is. I know that might feel uncomfortable to say, but if we got to come up with all of these scenarios, if that's what we got to do, then what are we doing here? Three turnovers, they only score 17 points. Like, what? Stop it. Can you look up the exact number? I'm actually curious to see how many times they score less than 17 or fewer. I'm trying to do the math. It's hard to do it on the fly, though. I would like to see it. Because I would say if we're saying the only chance that Pittsburgh has is this is a low-scoring game, then Kansas City just doesn't play in those kind of games. They had the one game against the Colts. They scored 17 points against the Falcons. The Super Bowl. Earlier this year, they only scored 3 against Tennessee. It's been like 5 games since he's been the starting quarterback. He's been the starting quarterback for 51 games. So what's the more likely scenario? That they score 31 or 21? That's that they scored 31 points. And Pittsburgh just, they can't keep up.
I'm looking at it. It literally never happened in 18. Down to 19. Yep, that Colts game, 13 points.
Yeah.
Didn't happen again in 19. In 20?
The answer is probably 4. Now that I'm thinking about it.
The answer is 4. Yes.
Yeah, the answer is 4.
Because that includes the boat race they took this year. Oh, 5.
Oh, look at that.
They failed to score 17 against the Packers this year. They got boat raced by the Titans. The Falcons game you mentioned, the Colts game you mentioned, the Super Bowl.
All right. Let's go back to the phone lines. 913-576-7610. Jonathan, you called into the drive. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, what's good? Hey, let's just stick to your scenario here. I like it. I think they get to the 45, like Rob said, but I think the defense says, you know, let's put this to bed and we either get a turnover or, like you said, turnover on downs. But I don't see them getting past the 45 because our defense will just cleat them to the throat, you know. I'll let you talk about it.
I appreciate it. I'm not going to say that I'm surprised, but – it does feel like we've reached a point that I'm more confident in the defense than you guys are, and that rarely happens. It rarely happens where I'm more confident about something regarding the Kansas City Chiefs than the general public. That doesn't happen very often. Someone just texted in, Gino just described a scenario where every team ever would lose. Exactly. Again, I'm not even discrediting that Pittsburgh has a chance to keep this game close late. There's a chance that happens. There's a chance that going into the fourth quarter of this game, we're like, huh, Pittsburgh is playing a little better than I thought they were going to play. It's only 24-17 heading into the fourth quarter of this game. Huh, interesting. It's not impossible to think of a scenario in which that happens. It's hard for me to think of a scenario that they win this game. I know our next guest will agree, and he probably feels the exact same way. Former NFL linebacker Sean Barber joining us on the show. Barbershop, how's it going?
I'm doing great. I've been doing great for the last, like, 13, 14 minutes. I was expecting to call at 4:30 to be able to enlighten you about some things. And then, luckily, you got Rob, the extraordinaire producer, to send me a text and gave me the heads up because I was about to light some you-know-what up under your you-know-what, C-Dot, a.k.a. Charger.
What did I do, Barbershop? You and I this week are in the same car. I think Kansas City wins this game comfortably. They are clearly better than the Steelers. I've been saying this week, people are going to be mad at me for a take I have regarding the Chiefs this postseason. It's not going to be in round one against this team. Like next week, let's say they play Buffalo and I'll be worried about Josh Allen, right? Let's say in round two, they play Tennessee and I'll be like, hold on, let's not discredit Tennessee. They won all these games. They beat you earlier this season. But Pittsburgh with old decrepit Ben Roethlisberger, I just can't get myself to even fake be worried about Pittsburgh.
I mean, honest with you, Charger Dot, the fact that it took you so long to even ask for room on the bandwagon, room on in the sea of red, room to don the Kansas City colors and going into the playoffs, I ain't got no room for you. I can talk to you on the radio, but really I ain't got no room for your fandom. I don't want to hear about what you think is good about the Chiefs, how you think what round we going to get started in. You a Charger Dot. You got the billboard put up on you. So I mean, I don't know beyond that what I can really say about you.
Barry, you and I are friends. We got to move past that. You and I got to move past me being Chargers dot.
No, buddy.
We got like five more weeks of talking about playoff football. You and I got to move past Charger dot. I'm not interested in talking about non-playoff teams. The Chargers are a non-playoff team. I don't want to talk about them anymore.
I knew that a long time ago. You should have known that a long time ago.
I mean, they almost made the playoffs.
Almost. Hand grenade, horseshoe, hand grenade.
All right, Barbershop, I do have one question because I can't really answer this question. You can't answer it. Could you see a scenario in which TJ Watt just goes crazy and he changes the course of the game? Like, I'm trying to think of, all right, who on that team gives me worry? Like, I think Najee Harris is a really good running back. They don't have a good enough offensive line. I like Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool. They have a bottom five quarterback throwing them the football. On defense, though, they do have arguably the best pass rusher in the National Football League, and if he gets going, he's a guy that can change the course of a game. Can you see a scenario in which T.J. Watt just goes off?
Not with our current offensive line. If some crazy stuff happens and we go down to, like, the third or fourth right tackle, and, you know, we've seen Watt eat. Like we said, I mean, he's eating off some guys that might not be in the league next year. You know, those four sacks he had against the Browns, number 66, still has nightmares. Seeing that guy line up, you know, Baker Mayfield was having nightmares that game. Every time 66 lined up in front of T.J. Watt, he just knew it was coming. So, I mean, when you're going against that guy twice in a season that you know, got four sacks from in one game, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really surprise you that you can get to 20-some sacks when you're facing, you know, it's all about the matchups. And for a guy who plays a rush in, a premium guy, an elite athlete, I mean, put in a position to go against guys that are lesser athletes, it's not surprising that he, you know, ate the way he did this season. And it will go down as one of the great pass rushing performances, you know, on defense in a long while. So, no, I don't see our offense being as healthy as we are right now with the caliber of play we're playing with right now, allowing one guy to wreck us for 60 minutes. Here and there, he might have some glimpses where we got to be worried, maybe leave a, you know, tight end, leave a running back chip on that side, or delay out on a route or something like that because we're having some problems with him. But not a one-man show. Can't really wreck what the Chiefs are doing. They got other guys, though, today. You know, we don't give them enough credit. Everybody know what, you know, T.J. Watt is doing, but they also got, you know, Haywood, and they got Bush back in the middle, I think, the linebacker. You got Patrick in the second. I mean, they got some high-quality players on all levels. So I think they got some players we got to definitely be aware of and reckon with.
Right now we're talking to Sean Barber, former NFL linebacker, joining us on the show today. Barber, what's the most points you could see Pittsburgh's offense scoring? So we're not talking about special teams touchdowns or, you know, a pick six or a scoop and score. What are the most points that you think their offense can score?
Now, man, they got playmakers. They got. And listen, we all know Big Ben. He said that, you know, it's no chance. Everybody's, you know, it's a shame they're being put on the field with all these other things. You know, Big Ben is a man, this guy's he's a competitor. He can play the pity game all he wants. Nobody in Kansas City is falling for that. We know that he's done it for 18 years. He's gonna full fake throw to one side and then go back to the other with some you know, prayers. And they got guys, you know, Johnson, Claypool. They got guys that can come down with those balls more than just a few. So in the secondary, you got to be real smart. We coach guys, what we call it is breaking on the long arm. So when a quarterback's offhand comes off the football, that's when you teach DBs to break on the ball because you want to get them. They want to get a jump on where the ball's going. But with a quarterback like Big Ben, he does a full pass fake. He doesn't keep two hands on the ball and do a little, just a shoulder shimmy to get you to break. He almost releases the ball fully, brings it completely down, looks to the other side of the field, and then lets it go. And he does that very often. And that's how they've been getting back in some of those games, with late double moves, you know, coming back with some deep balls to keep them in ball games. Because the first half, first three quarters of the season, they've been getting blown out in the first three quarters of almost every ball game. And then they've been making a comeback in the fourth quarter. So you got to play them for fourth quarter. You got to play them for four complete quarters.
Barber, let's take a look at the other games, because it doesn't sound like you or I really think that the Sunday night game is going to be all too competitive. What's a game that you have circled this weekend that you can't wait to see?
Oh, man, the Cowboys. Cowboys versus those 49ers. You talk about a game for the ages. You talking about a throwback game? I'm hearing Michael Parsons talking about, you know, you got to know goons from goblins. I'm hearing them talking about jailhouse mentality. Bullies get bullied in my neighborhood from Harrisburg, PA. I'm hearing a lot of stuff. Man, listen, man, you write those checks. You better be sure that all 11 guys on that defense is ready to cash that check. Because the one thing we know about Shanahan and those 49ers, they run the ball downhill, down your throat. Veer game, power O, OG pulling tackle. They're not RPOing. They're not going to the sideline. Big Deebo Samuels, I know they got him listed as a wide receiver, but that young man, he's an oversized wide receiver, a.k.a. running back. He gets north and south really quickly.
Barbershop, you there?
Yeah, I'm still here, bro.
Okay, my bad. I thought you had more to say. I apologize on that one.
I didn't know you wanted more than that.
I thought you were going to keep going. That's my bad there. I would put the games I'm most interested in this weekend. I'd put New England Buffalo at one. I'd put San Francisco Dallas at two, and then I'd put the Monday night game at three. I think this is going to be a really good wild card weekend. Outside of Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, you can make a case for any of the playoff teams winning their game.
I don't know. I think home teams gonna run the go ahead and run it. The one game, like I said, I know what the 49ers is going to bring to the table. Unfortunately, CeeDee Lamb, those guys, Dallas doesn't play the greatest at home. And so, if there's an upset, I think that's going to be the one game that might be upset. I think everybody else, the home teams, are going to go ahead and run the table. Most of those games, they'll find a way to win at home. I'm obviously going against Belichick, you know, facing the Bills. That's going to always be an opportunity. Coach Belichick is an amazing defensive-minded coach, but I think the Bills' offense, they got some weapons on offense. Sean McDermott's got that team ready to win, and they've been close enough. They know this atmosphere. The stage might be a little bit too big right now for Mac Jones. And then, obviously, Cincinnati Bengals, we see what they can do. They're a high-powered offense. If you talk about a player that can wreck offenses in day, we might want to keep an eye on Max Crosby facing that Bengals offensive line, because we know our Chiefs, we got after them pretty good. And I think they're still a little bit banged up. They rested a bunch of their starters, but Max Crosby, I think he's gonna make the Bengals have a nightmare, but I think they still win the ball game.
Barbershop, I have one more question for you. How do you feel about our touchdown draft? Are you happy with your two picks? Who do you think had a great draft? Who are you most worried about competing against you? And why is that person me?
All right. Again, I see how you threw that tried to lean one way at the end. It's not you. Your picks, I don't even know who you picked. So let me let you know. I really only know who three guys pick. I know who I picked. I know who Pete Sweeney picked. And I know who Rob the Extraordinaire, Deuce Extraordinaire picked. Those are the only two teams that I feel like have any even should be tallying scores with my –
You don't like my picks? I have Mike Evans and Darrell Williams. That's like seven postseason touchdowns coming for me.
And listen, we already know we got a running back committee. You don't – and Darrell, he's coming off that heel foot injury. You don't know his status. And then even when we do go – we got three other guys that are trying to get rotated between Gore and McKinney and CEH. So I mean, you got one of four. That's a small piece of the pie. And so we don't got to talk about the other guy you got over there, Mike Evans. he was facing some injuries at the end of the season too. But Tom Brady and those guys, I mean, again, I think that they might be up by so much. They might not even play too much after halftime. They'll be up for by the Eagles. So I don't know. Darius Slay, I think he's, if you look at PFF, he's the number one rated cornerback when you target him. And so if Darius Slay is on Mike Evans, I think you might have missed that. You might have missed that in your playoff notes when you drafted Mike Evans. But you seem to be a smart guy. You seem to be lucky. We know from fantasy and from survival league, you've been lucky a few times. So maybe your luck is you got a little bit left luck in that rabbit's foot. But like I said, Pete Sweeney and Rob might give me a run for my money. But besides that, I see myself taking this. I'm probably taking about 2 touchdowns.
Okay. All right, Barber. I mean, I would give you a nice send-off, but after you came on this show to spread lies and propaganda, I can't do that. Thanks a lot for coming on today.
Charge your dot. You keep running the show.
See what I mean? See what I mean, Rob? Rob, you can't keep letting people through that are going to call me Chargers dot anymore. You got to play better defense than you've been playing for me right now. You got to hold me down. I mean, you're not holding me down.
Barber made a lot of good points there. My team is very good. I traded back, I acquired picks, and I developed talent.
You got to start holding me down. We got to start a new rule. If you call me Chargers dot on the text line, we block you. And if you call me that, we block your phone number. You got to start playing a little better defense than this. I'm blaming you for all of this. Not anybody else. I'm blaming you 100%. All right, coming up on the other side, we'll actually take a trip to Pittsburgh. Andrew Filippone, who does afternoons, he will join us coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. His show ends at 5 our time, so we'll be joined by him coming up in about 10 minutes or so. We'll get to the hits. I'll tell him how disrespectful I've been to the Steelers, and we'll get his reaction. Coming up is the Drive.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.